Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We had a Bible study this morning on the subject of suffering. And the question is why, not so much why we have to suffer, but why we endure it. It's not so much why. I didn't answer that question so much as why we endure, how to endure suffering, the benefits of enduring suffering. And we talked about those during Sunday school. And one of the reasons what we endure suffering for is to be a consolation to others who suffer as well. And so today what we're going to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is we're going to talk about consolation, or this ministry of consolation. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 3. Paul said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us today. First of all, Lord, we lift up pastors that we know in the country today that are being prayed for by other churches like ours. Pastor Hal Roscoe in Chile, New York, and Pastor Tony Van Manen in Caldwell, Idaho. Father, we ask you please to help these men. I pray you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit and give them great direction for their churches. Give them encouragement, joy in the work that they do in the ministry, wisdom, Father, to know how to lead and how to counsel and how to preach. Father, I pray that you'll give them text right from the Scripture, that they may be able to preach the Word, and that your preaching of the Word will then minister to the souls of people to whom they preach. Father, may they be effective witnesses in their areas that souls may be saved. And then, Father, for our church today, we pray. We pray that our minds will be attentive, that our eyes will be perceptive, that our ears will understand, Father, that our hearts will be receptive to everything that's preached today and the things that are taught today, that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may mature spiritually the way that you desire for us to grow. And Father, as we preach, and we pray you'll minister these words to every family, every life that's represented here today in such a way, Lord, that they will truly be edified, and that you'll be glorified in the process, and that your word will be magnified. And Father, if amongst us today we have one or more that are lost, we pray, Lord, that you will speak to them in their hearts, that they may know Jesus Christ. For we ask you to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So here Paul uses this word, consolation. Consolation. He says in verse 6 and in verse 5. In verse 5 he says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Well, to console somebody is to comfort him. That's what it means. To console somebody is to comfort him. And so it could be to ease his misery or his grief. It could be to give him some relief in a time of suffering. So this passage is about Paul and the consolation that Paul received from the Lord whenever he suffered for the Lord. And then it's also about the consolation that Paul was able to give to the Corinthians when they started suffering the same thing that he was suffering, because he'd already been through it. And so we want to talk about this passage. We want to talk about consolation, and notice these traits about consolation. First of all, notice the grief of consolation, the grief of consolation. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ, what's the next word? Abound in us. Listen, when you become a Christian, if you live as a Christian and not as the world, you're going to suffer. That's what our lesson was about this morning. So it's not, we're not to be a stranger to suffering. It goes with the territory of being called a Christian. And when you suffer, you're going to receive consolation from the Lord. But here's the key. You have to suffer in order to get the consolation. In other words, you know, you're thinking, and when you hear consolation, you think in terms of like consolation prize or the consolation round because you didn't do so well in the tournament. All right? That's just to make you feel better about losing. But you have to lose before you can ever get into the consolation round, okay? You see how it goes? So the idea is this, that when you suffer, there is a grief that's associated with your suffering. There is pain that is associated with your suffering. There is misery that is associated with your suffering. But you have to have that in order to receive the consolation from the Lord. Listen, if everything is going well, there's no need to be consoled. You go around just talking about it to everybody, how good this Christian life is. I got it so good. I don't know. You must be going through trouble because you're a bad sinner or something. You know, it has a tendency to make you judgmental. My life's a bed of roses. Your life should be a bed of roses too. And it's not that way at all. Suffering accompanies the Christian life. And consolation accompanies suffering. But you don't get the consolation without the grief. And so remember, when you are in your Christian life, if you begin to suffer something, the loss of a loved one, a reproach, persecution, some infirmity that Christ has allowed you to experience in order to glorify God, you have to remember this grief is part of consolation. I need to be here first. But then notice not only the grief of consolation, but also notice the greatness of consolation. Look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, the degree to which you suffer for Christ is the degree to which you are consoled by God. In other words, if you have a little bit of suffering, you get a little bit of consolation because that's all you need. And if you have a great deal of suffering for the cause of Christ, there's a great deal of consolation because that's how much you need. And the beauty of it is the comfort is always greater. The consolation is always greater than the suffering and the misery. In other words, if you were to measure it on a scale of 1 to 10, or with those, you know, have you been to the hospital and they have those faces on the dry eraser board now, and how's your pain? And you know, there's one smiling and then there's one over here, and I mean, that dude is in trouble. Okay? So, you just look at that right there and you look at it and say, okay, that's where I am right there. I'm a 10. Well, then you're going to get 11 in comfort. And that's a good thing. Because, when you look at it, the greater the suffering, the greater the consolation. And that consolation comes to you by Christ. That consolation comes to you from God. You know what will happen when you first, this is just the way it is in your Christian life, first time you ever suffer for Christ, just in degree, it's usually going to be because you witnessed to somebody that was a friend of yours and now they don't want to be your friend anymore because you love Christ more than you love them. And they're like, pfft. And it hurts you because you really thought that you and this person were good friends. And suddenly you find out that that friendship had a limitation because now that you've chosen to be friends with Jesus Christ and they've chosen not to be friends with Jesus Christ, they don't want to be your friend anymore. You think, well, why is that? You're the sinner and I still want to be your friend. But it doesn't seem to work that way. My life is improving and I'm here to help you. They don't buy that at all. But you know something? That suffering, Sometimes that may cause you to lay awake at night and go, whoa, what did I do? What did I say? Maybe I could have said it a different way. Maybe I should have given them a baby Ruth and then told them they were going to hell. I don't know. And all that does, that introduces you to this whole concept of what's getting ready to happen in the rest of your Christian life. Because if you suffered that reproach and it bothered you, there's something else that's coming. It's going to be a little deeper. But you're also going to find that the consolation is a little greater. And then the next thing you suffer is going to be a little deeper. And you're going to find that the consolation is a little greater. And you know, you may actually find in time that one of your best Christian friends has suddenly now betrayed you. Jesus Christ found that out. You've lived long enough as a Christian. At this point, you're thinking, well, I understand. The world and the family a lot of times will blow you off when you decide you want to go for Christ. But your best friend in Christ now wants to blow you off. What's this all about? And that's deeper. But the consolation is greater. And what you find in time is what Paul found. And it's a strange, it's paradoxical. And what you find is this, you actually look forward to the suffering because you know the consolation is coming. Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in persecutions, in necessities, in distresses. For when I'm weak, then I am strong, by the grace of God. And he saw such great consolation, he's like, bring it on. I glory in my infirmities, Paul said. You say, well, I look at that, there's no way I can glory in my infirmities. You haven't gotten to that level of suffering and you haven't understood that level of consolation. But I want you to understand, while there is grief required for consolation, there is greatness of consolation to exceed the grief, and you get to that place in your life and you say, I can get through this because I am being consoled by God. And it's okay because the consolation is so great. But then notice something else. Not only is there the grief of consolation and the greatness of consolation, but notice the God of consolation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, notice what he says. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, watch it, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. The God of consolation. In other words, at first, when you get saved and God starts blessing your life, all of us have experienced that to some degree. You get saved and suddenly you get a better job perhaps, or you start doing better in school, or you find you have better friends. You start seeing the blessings of Christianity and you're like, wow, this Christianity is great. Look at these blessings. Well, you know what happens? You start looking for the blessings. Right? And you forget about the God of the blessings. I like blessings, Lord. I care less about you. I just want the blessings. And you wouldn't dare say it that way, but you live that way. Practically speaking, you're hooked on the blessings, not of the God of the blessings. And that's understandable. God understands that, because as we were children naturally and we got hooked on candy and forgot it was our parents who were giving it to us, particularly when they were the ones withholding it from us when we didn't need it. Likewise, we treat God the same way as children until we grow up and begin to mature in our faith. And then we're like, oh yeah. You know what? It's not the blessings, it's the God of the blessings. I remember a friend of mine saying, when he was stripped of everything, his dignity and his possessions and his family and everything, he said, I didn't know that Christ was all I needed until Christ was all I had. And let me tell you something. And then he began to realize it's not about the blessings, it's about the God of the blessings. And it's not about the suffering and the consolation, it's about the God of the consolation. Because God uses that suffering not only to console you, but He uses that suffering to draw you closer to Him. And you and I, because He's a supernatural being and because He's a spiritual being, and we can't see Him and we can't feel Him and we can't touch Him, has to use something like suffering to cause us to lose our confidence in the things around us and turn our attention to God. And it's through suffering, it's through those episodes of consolation that we begin to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Because of who is there. Not what is there, but who is there. It's the God, our God of consolation. He is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation. You see, when you need consolation, you have a variety of places you can go. If you're married, you can go to your spouse. If you have really, really good and tight friendships here, you can go to your friend. You can go to a family member. A brother is born for adversity. You can go to a sibling. You know, if you're young, you can go to your parents, and you'll find consolation with those people, because they love you, and your friendship is secure with them, or your family relationship may be secure with them. But I'm going to tell you something. In times of suffering for Christ, the person to go to is not one of those. The person to go to is God. Because they can't do for you, being human beings, what God can do for you, being God. I remember, I'm thinking in my mind right now of a very distinct event that was in my life in years past. And I was just in a tailspin, literally. My plane was going down and it was going to crash. And I was like, what do I do? And Psalm 18 directs our attention to God. And I ran to God. And when I found Him in that capacity and in that time of suffering and found His consolation, I said, you know, the place to go is to God. And, you know, it changed my whole understanding of the Lord. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. Paul's objective was to know God and to know Him in a way that was far greater than he knew Him as simply His Savior. He wanted to know Him in God's full capacity. You learn more about the Lord in times of affliction and in times of suffering than you do in times of ease and prosperity. Go back and look at your own life and look at your mountaintop experiences. You knew some things about God in those, but you really got to know God when you got to the valley. That's when He really became precious to you. And you know, sometimes you're going on that slope and you're heading into the valley again. You say, you know what, it's going to be all right because God is there. And as long as He's there, I'll be all right with this. So notice not only the grief of consolation and the greatness of consolation and the God of consolation, but notice the goal of consolation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, he says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation? Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. It's for somebody else's benefit. Notice in verse 6, he says, whether we be afflicted, watch it, it is for your consolation and salvation. Notice at the end of verse 6, it's for your consolation and salvation. The goal of consolation is not only to show you to rely upon God's consolation, it's always greater than the suffering, and not only to draw you closer to God, but in so doing, in drawing you closer to God, to make you capable to console somebody else who's going through the same kind of trouble you've just been through. That's the whole goal, is to make you an able minister. It's called the ministry of consolation. And you cannot minister to others in a particular trial unless you've been through that trial yourself. You can, but you're limited to what degree you can minister. But if you've been through what they're going through now and you did so for the cause of Christ, you can smile and put your hand on their shoulder, and there is a level of comfort that comes from Christ through you to that individual that is unlike anything else they will experience. Now, Paul says, whether we're being afflicted or whether we're being comforted, either one is for the consolation of the other. Look again in verse 6. He says, whether we be afflicted. Well, that's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. In other words, you're going through what we're going through so we can comfort you. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So whether we're being afflicted or whether we be comforted at the time, it's all for you. You know, as soon as you can get your mind off yourself and put your mind on somebody else, it changes your whole attitude about the circumstances you're going through. As parents, we understand this. Whenever we get into a crisis situation and our children are involved, we don't think about ourselves, we think about our children. And by devoting all of that attention to our children, we kind of get over the magnitude of the crisis that we're facing because we're so concerned about the well-being of the children, that by going through that with our children, they escape harm and we didn't fold up during the time of pressure. We got stronger. I've heard, I can't tell you how many times in visiting with people over the years in the ministry, they say to me, you know what? When I went through this myself, it was a horrible experience, but God drew me close to Himself and consoled me. But you know, God's given me a little gold star on this now because I'm able to return the favor to somebody else and God's using me to console them. That's a wonderful thing. You know what it does? It even allows your boo-boos to be put into a different perspective. Really? We're not perfect human beings, and some of the times we suffer, and the reason that we have the affliction is because we messed up. But you know what? Other people are going to mess up too. And when they find out that you've been through this already and survived it, they're like, woohoo! I got a chance here. It's going to be okay. So the consolation then is not 100% for us. The consolation is also for others who endure the same sufferings which we also suffer. Now, you know, this is a funny thing. Has God ever met a financial need for you? Did He use somebody else to do it, or did He just drop it out of an airplane from the sky? Usually He uses somebody else to do it, right? All right, so Paul's relationship with Jesus Christ was such that God comforted him and consoled him directly because he was kind of the first one through the chute. Now the Corinthians are coming through and he is able to console them. See that? So that's called the gift of consolation. The gift, in other words, if the goal of consolation is for the sake of somebody else, the gift of consolation is when you actually are able to console them by the consolation that you have received from Jesus Christ. The gift of consolation. Look what he says here in verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Watch it. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, you don't have to cook up some sort of a clever little passage from the New Age movement that sounds real frilly and all that to lift their little spirits. You get to talk to them about something real God's done in your life that He's going to do in their life, and you get to be the giver of the consolation for God. You see, in your life where God has used you to provide, like Brother Knickerbocker just came up and he said, God used you to make a provision for me so I could be with my family in a family vacation in Burkina Faso in January, I think it was, of this year. And so, you know what that is? That's God used you to make a provision for somebody else. And He was the beneficiary. How did you like that? Amen. Yeah. Oh, thank you. In other words, he got a great blessing out of it. It was a wonderful thing for him, but we got a great blessing out of it for being able to do that as well. See, the Bible says, give, and it should be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with what measure you meet shall be measured to you again. The idea is, God gives it to you, but He uses somebody else to do it. And both of you thank God for the opportunity. Same way with consolation. When a person goes through this, he knows, hey, I'm going through this and God has consoled me. I'm not the dead end. I've got this consolation now. It has assuaged my grief and suffering, but I get in due time to give this to somebody else in the name of the Lord, and God uses that to console them. You get the double blessing, or triple blessing, because you've now been drawn close to God, you've had a greater measure of consolation, and you've been used in the ministry. So don't get down in the dauber. I'm suffering. Glory to God for the sake of somebody else. You're not alone in this when you're suffering for Christ. Listen, You're not going to live, as we studied in Sunday school, the Christian life, if you live a godly Christian life without persecution. Yea, all that live God will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When God consoles you, He does somebody else a favor in due time. And I'll tell you what, any time that anybody else has come to me and said, God used me in this case because He took care of me over here to minister consolation to somebody else, they always say that with such a joy, with such a smile on their face. It's like the big icing on top of the cake. It was already good and it's just gotten better. And you can't get there without going through the grief. But then notice something else. Notice the guarantee of consolation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing, he didn't say hoping, he didn't say praying, he didn't say thinking. He said, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. The guarantee is, if you're suffering and you're suffering for Christ, God will console you. He's not going to leave you without consolation. Paul knew it. And he could say so boldly. Why did he have to say that? Well, they may have been in a very situation right then where they were still experiencing the grief of their suffering and hadn't started experiencing the blessing and the greatness of His consolation. And he said, don't worry about it. It's coming. It's coming. Absolutely certain that they would be comforted. Even if they just received their consolation through Him. You know, that's a great thing. Listen, if you know something is really going to, for instance, you do know this. You've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many of you, most of you. And you know this, that when you die, you're going to heaven. All right? Like a guy said one day, he said, I'm prepared, I'm just not ready. And you know what? You have so much certainty about that. You go to sleep at night and you're just not worried about it. If you don't wake up the next morning, you know that you've woken up in heaven. And that's a wonderful thing. And when you come to a place in your life where you're close to your own death, you don't fear death. Because you know that what's on the other side of what we call death, which Jesus calls in the New Testament mostly sleep. He says the dead in Christ, but He says they're asleep in Jesus. You know that you're going to see the glories of heaven. And that's a guarantee. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's why I'm dealing with people, asking them a question like, are you 100% sure when you die that you're going to go to heaven? It's a thought-provoking question, because most people aren't sure unless they've received Jesus Christ as their Savior and planted their faith in the words of God and have the assurance of the promises of God. Well, Paul, in the same way that we are absolutely sure of our salvation and our home in heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, said, don't worry about it, because I know you're going to be consoled. I know it. You're suffering, consolation is part of the deal. It's an equation with God that always works out. If your suffering is 100, the consolation is 110, and boop, the consolation is greater than the suffering. And it always happens when you're suffering for Christ. Now, a lot of people, you know what happens? They fold up their tent and they're like, ah, where's God? And they forget to rely upon the guarantee of consolation. Don't freak. Just because the horse you're riding seems like he wants to pitch you off, just keep riding. He'll settle down. You understand? The waves are going to smooth out. The stars are not going to fall. The earth will not quake. It's just you. It's just suffering. And consolation will be there. Guaranteed. But then notice something else. Notice the glory. The glory of consolation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look how he starts this whole passage in verse 3. Blessed be God. That's it. The glory of consolation is, blessed be God. The glory of consolation is not to magnify the suffering, but to magnify the God of the consolation and to bless Him. Listen, all of us who have been consoled glorify God because we receive the comfort from Him. And what happens is His comfort magnifies Him greater, to a greater degree than the suffering magnifies the affliction and those who are responsible for it. Let me say that again in another way. Sometimes the afflictions come into you from friends. Did Demas not turn his back on Paul? Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said, having loved this present world. Did he not have to turn some people that had been associated with him in the ministry over to Satan, that they may not learn to blaspheme? Yeah. He said in another place, at my first answer, no man stood with me. I pray God that He does not lay this to their charge. They all ran. So Paul could sit there in his cell and say, here I am all locked up in here, and nobody loves me in the whole world. He could do that, and you might have done that, but that's not the reality. The reality is He puts you in that, so you look at the consolation, and then you look up at the God who gave that, and you say, blessed be God. Paul and Silas are thrown into jail after being given the Macedonian vision. Come here and help us. I can't help but talk about that without making light of Silas turning to Paul and saying, now tell me one more time, what did that guy say in that vision? Are you sure? Because they're beat up, they're bloody, their feet are in the stocks. It's midnight, and I mean, it's been a long day in Philippi. And you know what they did? They prayed and they praised God. Why? Because He's the one to be blessed. He's the one to be blessed. You can magnify the suffering if you want to. I don't recommend it. It never has a good conclusion. Job could have magnified the loss of his children, the loss of his sheep, the loss of his camels, the loss of his asses. He could have magnified all that he lost in a day, the death of his children. He didn't do that. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He knew where to go in the time of struggle. Bless the name of the Lord. The glory of consolation is not that you survived it, but that God got you through it. And God's getting you through it. And God didn't leave you in it. Blessed be God. I'll tell you what, if you'll just get on your face and in your Bible and quit reviewing the circumstances of the people that were used by whomever to get you into the trouble that you're in, if you'll just bless God, blessed be God, and open your prayer and open your Bible with that on your mind, there'll be a glory of God that will magnify itself, and you'll wonder if you're even in trouble. You'll forget about it when you get a good look at Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what we sang. Look full in His face. And the things of earth will grow faintly dim in the light of His glory and grace. So when you're going through suffering or affliction, remember that God is there to console you, and that your suffering has a purpose that is far greater than yourself. Suffering draws you closer to the Lord and magnifies His glory, and you'll find that your suffering then is for others, so that one day you'll be able to be the minister of consolation to them in the same way that you have been comforted by God. And my friends, that's a good thing. Father, thank You today for an opportunity to be able to preach this profound and yet simple truth from the Scripture. Blessed be God. Father, I pray for those that are in a time of sorrow, in a time of suffering, in a time right now, having lived their Christian lives, they've come to this point. I pray they can take their eyes off of the trouble and the affliction and put their eyes on the God of consolation and glorify you in it in a way that others without Christ cannot do. Father, I ask you please to minister this not only to us that may be suffering now, but to those, Lord, who one day will suffer or perhaps have suffered and never had a perspective like they do today and find, hey, it's okay. Because sooner than later, I'll be able to minister what I've received to others. God bless this congregation and help us, encourage us, strengthen us against the day of evil and in anticipation of the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you will be magnified in our midst as we follow your prescription in the ministry of consolation. For I ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.